a roller coaster. Who would have ever thought? I was walking on the beach with my former partner, who's still a very good friend of mine, and our dogs on Balaf Beach. And we noticed there was a fair bit of rubbish. In fact, there was huge amounts of rubbish. And the dogs were bringing plastic bottles and pieces of plastic back to us for us to throw for them. So we went up to the high water mark, and basically we couldn't believe how much there was. You know, when humans go to the beach, we tend to go paddling and throwing stones and sticks for the dogs. But you don't think about what's up at the high water mark. And when we went to have a look, it was incredible, because it was about 2 or 3 foot deep, in buried in the sand, and there was plastic dating back 20 years, even in those days. So the following weekend, we went back with a pile of bin bags and thought, let's just clean up. You know, this is pretty much our favourite beach. We're here all the time. Let's tidy this up. Little did we know what we were letting ourselves in for, because we went back 5 different times over 5 weekends. And every time we had a wagon load of rubbish, until eventually we were determined. And in the end, we got rid of it all. Obviously, you thought to yourself, well, if this beach is as bad as that, what is round the corner? And that's where it started. And every beach in the Isle of Man was in a mess. So we decided, why don't we have a go? And just on our own, the two of us and the dogs cleaned up quite a few beaches, until we realised, how can two people cope with such a problem? And then we asked for some help, and the whole thing exploded. You know, people realised there was a problem. All they were looking for was somebody to just kickstart it and give them the kit, which is basically a pair of gloves and a bag. And later on, when we got sponsors, we got litter pickers. But basically, we just asked for help. And within 2 or 3 weeks, we had about 150 volunteers.
When you and your former partner used to walk on the beach and do these cleanup operations between the two of you, did you get people on the beach stopping you guys or asking, you know, what are you doing? Can I help? And is that how you started the conversation with others?
Most people were, you know, had a positive look at it. They'd seen the problem. People look at it and think, well, it's somebody else's problem. Here's the classic answer. The government should get rid of it. The government should sort it out. Why isn't the government not fixing it? But if you analyse it, who on earth put it there in the first place? It wasn't the government going and dumping bags and wagon loads of rubbish on the beach. It's us, human beings. So consequently, a few simple messages about, you know, this is our problem. This is a community problem which needs sorting out by the community. People thought, well, you know, actually, that's right. You know, in the Isle of Man, it's not easy to get groups of people together. And this issue, for some reason, seems to have caught the imagination. And a massive number, I mean, tens of thousands of people, I've kept count since the beginning, have wanted to be involved, because they can see that it's a problem that we cause. It's, you know, young people in particular throwing out crisp packets and food packaging and fast food containers and plastic bottles and tin cans out the car window. And once we started going to schools and making them realise that you are actually the person causing that problem, what are you going to do about it? Then it just clicked a button. And schools in particular, just this response was fantastic, particularly with primary school children. And amazingly, if you think about it, we started in 2006. We've got a generation of children who've never known anything other than an island with clean beaches and roads and glens and plantations, because it's not just beaches. Suddenly it's everywhere. You know, everybody wants to clean up their local patch. You know, I've got very good friends. One man I know, I won't give his name, but he cleans his own street in Port Erin every week. And we've got, I think, thousands of people who are doing exactly the same. So what a nice reflection this is on the Manx people. In many ways, we're sort of reluctant to invite change. But in this case, for some reason, it's caught the imagination. And we've had a really fantastic success story. It's been great.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, Bill, so Beach Buddies Isle of Man, where did the name come from? How did you come up with that? Was it just an easy one?
My partner said, you know, what about Beach Buddies? It's modern. It sounds like something that children could do, so it's inclusive. And at the moment she said Beach Buddies, I thought, well, that's perfect. we were thinking about along those lines. We wanted to include the word beach because beach seems to be the word that we use in the Isle of Man. And then, very fortunately, we were offered some money to help us buy a very old 4x4. As soon as we put it on the side of there, it took off. And we registered the name as well, so to make sure nobody else steals it.
Well, looking back now from where you are now, you know, can you believe everything you've accomplished? I mean, recognize it's an Isle of Man national organization, but you've also gone international. You've been recognized in other countries as well for the efforts and the initiative that you guys have been pulling out here.
Yeah, and I think the international recognition is a recognition that the world needs to do something about this problem. I'm amazed, really, but it appears that the Isle of Man is the only place which has this, a complete system which works. I mean, go for a walk on the beach this afternoon, you won't find much rubbish. 20 years ago, you walk 5 yards and fill a bag. So we have done something special. I mean, I just can't get over the fact that it is actually such a simple concept. If it's simple, children understand it, adults understand it, companies understand it, schools in particular. Keeping it as simple as possible has been the solution to this. And a lot of the publicity we've had around the world has involved people coming to the Isle of Man and actually seeing for themselves, not just listening to a former journalist telling some story which might not be true. They've actually come over and I've had some amazing people have just come up to me, complete strangers. And while we've been running an event on Douglas Promenade, for instance, during TT, and a number of people who come up and say, wow, look at what you've done. Whereas we now take it for granted, you know. So when you get a feedback like that, it makes you realise that, strangely enough, human beings are reluctant to get involved in something which looks too simple because they all think there's a catch. And how lovely to have won awards for that, you know. So it's nice to get international recognition, but I think more to the point, they trust us. There's a element of doubt where people are, I mean, even world leaders are prepared to tell lies every day and nobody believes anything anymore. But we appear, I don't know how this has happened, but we appear to be one of those organizations which people think, well, they're doing it, it works, let's give it a go.
I can actually vouch for, you know, you said that moment where the city is so clean, or the Isle of Man is so clean. 4 years ago when I moved over, I was walking on the high street, and I'm from South Africa where you've got litter everywhere. And I saw a young boy, we were passing each other, and he threw, I think it was a bottle. So he threw the bottle aiming for the bin. It did a loop around and it fell out. And here I was going, oh, well, you know, he's not going to pick that up, or, well, it's fallen on the ground, it didn't go in. And then I see this boy turn. He stopped, he turned, he ran back, he picked it up and he put it back in the bin.
Well, how cool is that?
I was pretty amazed, actually.
Yeah.
It's having the respect for your area and the people around you as well.
I think too, Chanel, there's a psychology about, are you going to be the first person to drop a piece of rubbish in a clean environment? Whereas 20 years ago, when there was piles of rubbish lying around and you add one piece to maybe 20 that's already lying there, then it's a very easy thing to do. All you're doing is, you know, you're part of the club. Everybody throws their rubbish on the floor. Somebody else comes along and picks it up. But what's happened here is entirely the other way around. Once the place is clean, there is a psychology inside people's head that I'm not going to be the first person to throw a piece of rubbish on a clean street or in a park or in a glen or throw it on the beach or in the river. So that's been another interesting learning curve that when you start these things, you don't think you're going to find out all this stuff. But I think it's a subject you could probably get a university degree going on this.
How many tons, I say tons because I'm sure it's that much, but how many tons of rubbish do you think the organization would have picked up over the 2 decades?
Well, in the early years, we were picking up over 100 tons a year when we started. That's because every beach was in such a mess. And of course, lots of that stuff was heavy things that, you know, because the majority of it now is lightweight and it's plastics and plastic packaging. But in those days, there were hundreds and hundreds of things like tires and wheels and big barrels and things off fishing boats and fishing nets. So over the years, it's reduced quite dramatically. So now every year it's around about between 25 and 30 tons. That's without counting the recycling, because we don't weigh there's no facility to weigh the recycling. But it's when we started, it would be 100 tons a year.
So, Bill, you know, you do these weekly litter pickings. I'm sure compared to 20 years ago, you would have had people would have been more encouraged to come out and volunteer their time. Whereas nowadays, everyone's so busy, life is so busy. Do you struggle to get volunteers nowadays?
No. We've had, from day one, I kept statistics about how much we collected and the weight that it was registered at the Energy from Waste plant. I kept statistics on numbers of people who turned up. And then, I'm so glad I did this, I kept account of the new volunteers. So if we ran an event with, for instance, a club in Balaf, and then they came back a few months later, I would ask how many, put your hand up if you're new, if you've not been here before, which then meant you had a running total of how many people had actually taken part, rather than, you know, a fake number, which would have been the same people over and over again. So I've done that since day one. Thank goodness I did that, because again, who would believe you? And I've got it all written down in diaries, because, you know, ex-journalists, everything's in a diary. And up to this point, we've gone past and we're on the way to 22,000 different volunteers. In terms of the number of volunteers who keep coming back and duplicate over the years, it's into hundreds of thousands of hours. And we every weekend now, we still get 50, 60. We had 40, 50 last weekend in not that great weather. We even had three turned up in an unbelievable storm a few weeks ago. But the great thing is that you don't have to just come along on a Sunday. People are cleaning up all over the place. We've given away thousands of litter pickers, and we see people, because they're distinctive with a yellow handle, you see people in the middle of nowhere who I don't really know who they are, and they've decided, you know, I'm going to clean this bit of my glen or the footpath just near my house or just the street outside their house. Our events are on a Sunday morning, but a lot of people can't make Sunday morning. They're committed to other things. So we know that there are thousands of people out there. There is nothing at the side of the roads hardly anymore. It's fantastic. It's I wish we could go back in time and just, you know, have a look down the road. I've got lots of photographs, of course, to show that. But the difference is fantastic.
So I understand that people have taken the concept of beach buddies to other parts of the world as well.
You think about how the Isle of Man is well known around the world because of it's a shipping nation. So the Isle of Man has worldwide connections because we are on an island, you know. And there's lots of unique stories about how people have gone from here and established colonies as they have done all over the world, all Manx colonies here, there and everywhere, you know, and that continues to happen. So it's been interesting to see how people have focused back on the Isle of Man when they've heard about beach buddies, because let's face it, you know, media connections now are fantastic, aren't they? You know, and social media has been really good for us as well. And people have come from all over the world and asked us questions, how on earth have you achieved what you've done? We just tell them, keep it simple. And then that's been followed, you know. And there's a nice story about the son of a very good friend of mine who works in Hong Kong. And he'd heard about what we were doing, and he phoned up and he said, I'd really love to set up something here. Would you mind if we set up a group called Beach Buddies Hong Kong? And I said, oh, absolutely, you know, give it a go. And of course, it's a huge population. And in the space of no time, he had 200 or 300 volunteers, and he continues to this day. And what we find is that when somebody actually goes out and is seen to be doing something about it, people think, you know, I can do that. All you need is a bag and a litter picker and a pair of gloves, and away you go. That's what's happened here. And I keep saying to people, you know, and I understand that people are skeptical because, you know, they're probably thinking he's just made this up, you know. But the reality is you come to the Isle of Man, have a look around and look at what's happened. So if we can do it in a little place like this, then why not replicate that everywhere? And we've been successful in places like the Lake District, the Scottish Islands. We've got some people following us in Northern Ireland. In fact, all around the British Isles. We've got contacts here, there and everywhere. I mean, it would be fantastic if you could get a huge network going. I mean, there is an opportunity for some of the biggest culprits, people who fast food containers and the tin cans, you know, without naming any names, there's a few big names there, and their stuff is on the beach all the time. Why not get them to maybe support some sort of a program? Or it, and it's not, you know, people don't need to think that this is a heavily expensive thing to do. It is literally hands, glove and a bag. And if you want to give people a litter picker, okay, but a hands, gloves and a bag, and there you go. You know, it's a very easy, simple thing to do. We've got a new program in schools at the moment where schools get take a sponsored bin from us, and then the children throw everything in the bin, and then they take it out of there and recycle it. So they're learning as they go along, and we're hoping that if that program continues to be a success, and it's just starting to take off now, and we hope to have these bins in every single school. And well, in fact, we will do. We're going to do that. I mean, there's no question about that.
What would you say in all the years, what would you say has been the worst or some of the worst things that you found? I know a few years ago, it was syringes, a bag of syringes.
I think that's hit the nail on the head, yeah. Because that is, number one, unbelievably irresponsible. Number two, unbelievably stupid. And number three, unbelievably arrogant. How can anybody think that dumping a syringe anywhere, even in a bin, one of our volunteers was jabbed by one of these things in the bin in down south. How can anybody think that that is acceptable? I have to say now, it's become part of the safety talk. I ran an event yesterday with children on the beach at Kurt Michael, and you have to tell little five-year-old children, you've got to look out for a syringe. I mean, what a sad reflection that is on the world. These kids are smart. Even at 5 years old, they're no fools, you know. But people do understand. But we've now got to the point now, and for our own insurance purposes, you've got to give these warnings, I'm afraid. It's a sad reflection on the way the world's gone in the last few years.
And moving on from the serious to a little bit of the lighthearted or funny moments, I'm sure there have been some weird what just happened moments throughout the 20 years.
We find all sorts of kids' toys and things, and we found a whole pile of yellow plastic ducks on one beach. It was on, again, up the sort of, because of the prevailing wind, it's nearly all these things are found on the northwest coast. And one of them had some writing on it, but you couldn't quite read it. So I great thing about the internet, you can research these things. It was a duck which had taken part in a duck race. I think it was about 5,000 miles away.
Wow!
it was on the actually, it was more than that. It was South America. It was identified from South America, and there was another pile of ducks that we found, strange ducks again, plastic ducks, which had come from a ship which had sunk off Argentina. And the container, after several years, had released some of these things, and thousands of these things, and they were actually tracked by radar, and they were going up the Atlantic because the prevailing wind is in that direction. And they ended up here as well. But we found interesting things too. And I think the best thing of all was the bones of a 8,000-year-old reindeer, an elk, which was found on the beach at Balaf, and it shows that those deer, as you can see in the Manx Museum, actually lived on the Isle of Man at one point, because these bones had fallen out of the cliff when it was eroded, when we were there yesterday. In fact, there's a fair bit of erosion still. It continues all the time. And these bones were found. And in fact, the skull was found as well. And there's a story about that, because somebody took a photograph of it. It was a great big thing, you know, with the antlers on it, or the remains of the antlers. And somebody sent me this picture, and I said, I think you'll find that this is a very old elk. Go back and get it and take it to the museum. And of course, when they went back, somebody had taken it. Oh. And I happen to know, well, so I'm told, that it's sitting in somebody's garden in Kirkmichael. So maybe if that person is listening, maybe, you know, would you like to take it to the museum? Because they've taken all the ribs and bits and pieces we found, we've given to the museum. But it would be nice to have the skull as well. So we do have quite interesting stories like that. That's probably the funniest, but the most interesting as well.
So looking to 2025, I know there's been lots of posts from you about the dumping of electrical waste. Is that something that's one of your big worries at the moment?
Well, fly tipping is on the increase because the charges at the amenity sites are high. It is a difficult problem to solve, but the theory we've always had is when you buy a television or a washing machine or a tumble dryer or whatever it is, and there's going to be a charge to dispose of it at the end, that fee should be charged when you buy it. And then nobody will be fly tipping because there's no charge when you take it to the amenity site. I don't understand why that's never happened, to be quite honest. It's not rocket science, you know. It's not highly technical. You're going to have to pay it anyway. So when you pay it at the beginning, then surely that's going to end fly tipping. I don't quite understand. I mean, why would anybody, and it happens, we find this all the time, go to the middle of nowhere, a beautiful forest or a mountain road, somewhere quiet, you know, the Marine Drive is a favourite, and just middle of the night, just open the back of the car, chuck it out, and then drive off. I mean, what's going through somebody's brain to think that's okay? Today, it just seems fly tipping is a good way of saving yourself a few quid.
And looking ahead, you know, we've got an election. It's an election year. Is there anything that you'd be looking out for as Beach Buddies Isle of Man?
Well, there's a massive number of green issues. You can imagine over the years, and it's very nice to be thought of as a responsible green organisation, which is doing as much as we can to protect the environment and reduce the amount of trash that's in the environment. And I think fundamentally what we do is that we are trying very hard to educate children in particular about the impact that human beings can have on the planet in a bad way and a good way, and obviously emphasising the good way. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there are some very loud, frequent voices by a handful of people talking about how, you know, let's continue burning coal and oil and that's the only way forward. I'm 100% in disagreement with that. We've been to Scotland a few times and the Lake District, but in Scotland in particular, drive through Scotland, it is full of wind turbines. Now, if they weren't working and the system wasn't working, surely by now they'd be pulled down. Obviously it works. Obviously it works. So why on earth, here we are, probably on the windiest island in the northern hemisphere. And if we can't have all of our heating and lights on all the time, maybe we all need to be educated a bit more as to, you know, how we should be saving more and switching things off and timing things at home. But I'm 100% in agreement that we've got to go down the renewables. And if you've got wind and wave energy for nothing, and then you have, obviously there's a cost to have the machinery on the end of it. I don't understand why anybody is even dreaming of carrying on burning oil and coal or gas or nuclear power stations is another argument. But honestly, we've got to go down the green route, surely as a responsible population. I'm afraid that we're going to look back on this era where people have just got lazy and think, you know, well, what we've got now works, so why rock the boat? This is a really great opportunity to change everything. I think offshore wind farms, absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, what's wrong with that? They're everywhere. Why can't we have them?
Whenever we have the climate talk on Man and Lion, or whenever we have the climate on as the talking point on the island, you often hear people, you know, that say, yes, you know, I do adhere to it. But then you also get the other person or the odd one that would say, actually, we're a small island. What difference can we make? What do you say to that?
But we're all part of the world. Just because we're on a small island, it doesn't mean to say that we have to think differently to other people. I mean, the rest of the world is trying to develop green energy. Why should we continue to be burning oil and gas for our power? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. And when you talk to young people, I'll tell you, there's a sea change coming. When these children, we go to schools and talk to them a lot, and it's not just about beach cleaning. They're talking about this subject all the time. And when you speak to children between the age of maybe, I don't know, 12 and 18, which we do all the time, they're not going to put up with this nonsense of burning oil and gas for the rest of their life. They want to see things change. And believe me, if they get a chance, it will happen. And I think this is going to be, an issue at the election. The people that you talk to on our Sunday mornings, you know, I think they're all pretty level-headed, sensible people. And I've not heard one of them come along and say, you know, you're an idiot. Why are you talking about wind farms and green energy? We've got to carry on. I haven't heard anybody say that. So I'm afraid that it's a very noisy handful of people who are holding on to what's basically a dead future. It's not going to happen. Young people today want to see proper green energy in the future.